name is Kyle, and I am not a rock climber. I never will be. I have done it once in like a soft gym. And I'm telling you all of this on the show, the Experience Grind podcast, the podcast about getting older, watching YouTube, learning things that you'll never do, but being excited because you get to watch them now. As I said, my name's Kyle. I'm not a rock climber. But I have a good buddy that is not a bodybuilder. What's up, Ryan?
Yet. And yeah, unlike you, true. I'm going to keep a positive attitude and then make a vlog in a year and really surprise people. I'm not going to win. I might be like 12th, but I'm going to do good.
A sleeper agent, I think, is what we'd call that. We'll get into that term in a bit. On the other hand, speaking of hand, a man who was registered with the strongest grip strength compared to a silverback gorilla, only when grabbing his own genitals, though. What's up, Sean?
What's up, man? What you failed to mention is that silverback gorilla had no hands. No hands.
It did have
It was very interesting watching him grab it with his nubs, though.
I don't know if you guys do know this, but in the animal kingdom per ratio, gorillas have the smallest wiener of all mammals.
True.
I promise you.
100%. Google it right now. If I'm wrong.
No. No.
I don't want to Google which animal has the smallest wiener per body mass.
But actually, I could see that. I could see that.
And I think the largest is a type of shrew or mouse. But I do know that the blue whale does have a massive dong, but that's because it is humongous. But we are talking about animal wieners a lot.
Why did Ryan's face just do that?
Care to elaborate? I just read about the harem societal structure of gorillas and that this also helps to weed out the small dick gorillas. So that's why they are so small. Obviously, because like they're the ratio is off, but like apparently it is very hard for small dick gorillas to breed because
are you saying that evolution doesn't exist?
I'm not. No.
I feel like they would have evolved huge dicks.
Oh, there's only one. There's only one huge dick. And then he kills all the other little dicks.
Exactly.
Or no, he kills all the other big dicks. Intended. He lives. Oh, yeah. He leaves only the little dicks.
Huh. Okay.
Speaking of.
Well. I don't know. I feel like.
No.
Sure.
Go ahead. Sorry. You feel like.
No, I have no idea. I have no idea where to go with that. That is information I now have that I'll never do anything with.
To get this a bit back on track, because we just went down a little bit of a what we'd call a rabbit hole of our own there, this episode is modified a bit. It does have the overall theme of the two videos I brought to the table last week, but it's also going to expand a bit into overall YouTube rabbit holes, which I think we've maybe touched on in previous episodes. But the nice thing about rabbit holes is that there's always new stuff. You're not going down the same rabbit holes. That's why it's a rabbit hole. You're going down somewhere you've never been. So I think we're all going to kind of expand out and talk about some of our own personal rabbit holes we've been down recently.
One of the perks of that is no matter who's listening, there's always different tastes and different interests and stuff. So if you're listening and you hear some of the weird shit that we go into rabbit holes on in here, and you're like, man, I am super hype I listened, you're fucking welcome. Go to patreon.com/experiencegrind and tell us with your fucking money.
Mm-hmm. You can even listen to us while you're pooping.
Tell me you love me.
Wow.
Oh, shit.
But yeah, so last week I wanted you guys to watch two short, I still consider them, I'm going to call it right now a vlogumentary. Is that a thing? Because it is, it's more than a vlog, I feel.
A vlog would have been if he didn't have any commentary and explaining what was happening. There was like the video clips, but there was also cutting back to him in like his truck driving, and explaining and recapping it all. So it felt a little bit more than just like your average vlog.
But yeah, I think because it had footage, and he was also sort of narrating over that footage too. Yeah. But it's this guy, Emil Abrahamsson, who is Swedish, I think, right? Yeah.
Yep.
But he's like a Swedish professional rock climber. And for whatever reason, the way he tells it, he just felt like it one time. There was a grip strength competition specifically in his country, and he signed up and went. And in this vlog, it's what hooked me on it is, number one, it is just fantastic storytelling. The guy is just very good at telling a story. He's interesting. And it is such a unique, almost fish out of water story, because the moment you see him compared to everyone else competing in this competition, he is legitimately like half the size of these guys. These are like humongous, world's strongest men type dudes that like lift cars. And then there's this small, like, 170-pound dude, I think he is. He's like 6'1", 170 pounds. Like an average-sized dude. He's in great shape. But he goes to this competition, and he actually ends up doing well. Like, shockingly well to him. And along the way, like, it's fun how just open and nice and positive all of these humongous bodybuilders are. They just want everybody to be their best, and like it's just so much positive reinforcement. A lot of it, I feel, is almost like the complete opposite of toxic masculinity. It's real positive masculinity in a pretty masculine setting, but like, it's for a group of giant dudes doing competition. There's no shit talking, no, like, at least that we see, but the way that it's presented, again, it's just, it's so wholesome. I have no idea how I stumbled across this video, but I watched this one, and then the second one, so the videos are Pro Climber Breaks World Record at Grip Strength Competition, and Pro Climber Breaks World Record at Grip Strength Competition, parentheses, again. So... he went once in like 2024 and then went back again like last year to a different one. But again, placed well. What was interesting in the second one was how many people recognized him now, and everybody was like kind of talking to him. But again, just the complete contrast of these dudes. So I've kind of waxed poetic about it a lot. I want to talk to you two guys about it, because this is also sort of like a rabbit hole that I was interested in. But I'm curious if it sparked the same interest in you guys. Did it? What did it peak about to you? So I'd just kind of like to get your overall experiences with it. Shawnee?
I'm really surprised that this hadn't come up on my feed before, because I do watch like a lot of climbing guys.
Your wheelhouse, I would think.
Yeah. Like Magnus Midbo is someone I watch rather frequently, like some of his content. He's very entertaining. And then from there, it sometimes branches off into other things. And this feels like one of those things that would absolutely be in my wheelhouse. When you were describing it last week, I didn't really put the pieces together of what it was going to be. But within seconds of it, I'm like, oh, yeah, of course. And I thought back to what you'd said. I'm like, yeah, of course a rock climber's going to do exceptionally well in a grip strength competition, because that's literally all you're doing. You're lifting yourselves up by your fingertips.
Yeah, like, and with so, like these weird pinches.
Yeah. And so like they 9 times out of 10 aren't some huge jacked people, but they're some of those powerful people that you'll ever meet. Just lean and pound for pound. He won pound for pound in those two that you had seen. Pound for pound strongest.
Really cute too.
Which is,
he just hops up by himself.
Yeah. Yeah. I like how in the second one there was actually other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to another word that There's a million words that you can use to describe this guy. And one that I haven't heard yet is just charismatic. Like, this guy just oozes charisma, whether it be to the camera or just watching his interpersonal conversations with other people and just meeting other people. This motherfucker's wearing sandals and socks. Everybody's wearing weightlifting shoes, and he's wearing double-strapped sandals and socks. Like, slip-on sandals. Yeah. Not even ones with a back strap. Like, this dude drops on his foot, and he's done. I think I sent in the group chat to you guys about 2 hours ago. I've now watched twice as many videos as I need to for this because I finished those two. I went and watched one of his, he was doing a grip strength thing with other climbers. Then I watched his Arnold Classic video, which was fucking awesome.
I haven't seen that one. I bet that's sweet.
I'll send it to you. It's great. It goes into, like, he got his hernia like a week before going there and still obliterated it.
Bam.
Then I showed Sarah, like, I watched the second one again and showed Sarah. Like, it was great. I don't remember what your question is, but I'm going to send it to Ryan.
That, your overall experience with it. I think that's good.
Oh, fucking slapped. I desperately want to do that. Like, and not do great. I'm stronger than I look, but like, I am nowhere. Like, strength and the amount of time, endurance with strength. Ooh, I'm not there, but man, it just looks like so much fun. And those people seem like such great people to be around. I just want to be in their presence. Look
fun.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Just, I don't care if I only make it best. A quarter of the way through. I'm the one bringing down that average that seemed silly low, even though I know I couldn't do that.
You said charismatic. I would also say, like, both of these to me, they're captivating as hell. They go by so quick.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ryan?
Oh, no worries at all. Please continue. I'm right there with you guys. I pulled up Magnus Mitbo's Facebook, yeah. And immediately, like, one of the first YouTube thumbnails was him with Alex Hunold, who did Free Solo, and those who are doing, like, solo climbing together. And immediately, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's, like, high-stakes shit. Which is almost the exact opposite of Emil and what he's doing here, and I kind of appreciate that. I love Free Solo, and I, like, kind of, like, I was sweaty and nervous the entire movie. Like, it is an experience, but I really like the low-stakes vibes of this. And as you said, like, there's just no toxicity. There's no gatekeeping. It is just, like,
yeah, no,
we are here for the love of the game, like, or the sport, or whatever. Like, the love of pushing yourself. Like, it doesn't matter if I win and, like, beat you or whatever. Like, I don't know. I just found it, as you said, very wholesome. Wholesome is, like, maybe the best word for this. And it's also, as I think Emil points out in one of the videos, like, it's also very serious. It is wholesome, but these people are taking it seriously and they're really pushing themselves. So it is, there are stakes. It's just, I guess, kind of going back to the storyteller comment. How he's such a good storyteller. I agree. And what I noticed was these videos kind of feel like the last third of a sports movie, except there's no shitty dickhead. But, like, sure, real quick, yeah, within, like, the first minute, he gives you, like, the, we're going to do this. I just decided I want to do this. And then it's competition. It's the final competition, essentially. And you're just in it. And I think that's really cool to just get to that. Stay in it for 15 minutes and make it 20 to 30 minutes, make it really interesting. But, like, that's it. Like, you're just essentially getting the third act of a sports movie, but it's, like, the most wholesome sports movie ever. I thought that this was really well done. Way out of my wheelhouse is not something I would typically watch, but I think he is very charismatic, as Sean said. And it's also done very well.
I just hope that everybody has the same experience as he does, because I feel like It dawned on me as you were talking, and it made me a little sad that I thought of this. But, like, of course he's going to be treated really well. And because he's not only making a video, but he is extremely athletic. He is, like, top of that. And it's, like, it's not like anybody there is going to be really toxic towards him. It's like League of Legends. You're not going to be toxic against, you know, some top five or next. Actually, you probably would. But you're way more likely to the person who's not very good. So I hope that that's not the case and that the whole world, that whole world is just good to everybody, because that would fucking rule.
Though,
yeah,
I can't speak in to cover everyone, but I have, not now because I'm way out of shape, but for a while there, I did take working out and weightlifting pretty seriously in my early 20s. And I met a lot of, like, the bigger dudes, and legit everyone I ever interacted with, the nicest guys ever. They legit just wanted to help people do their best. Like,
that
it could be a little annoying. A lot of them could be like form dorks, or like they just want to like talk to you and like, but for the most part, it's always good intentioned, and trying to approach things from that angle, I think, is always a good thing.
You know, that's a really good point. That is something, now that you say that, that is something you hear all the time. It's like fitness people want to try to, it's like I said, League of Legends earlier, you would think that people would want to help the new players out so it can help your community thrive and grow and that's be why a great gatekeepers place are to
so
be.
Fucking stupid.
Yep. Like, Jesus Christ, you are the reason this shit's dying. But you never hear that about like working, like people into fitness. Unless you're into like some weird, like specific, like hating on CrossFit or something like that. Like, there's tribalism in that world, but
life's too short to hate that much. This guy, to me, watching it this time, and maybe this is a dumb internet way to look at, but it's funny how like an anime character almost he is, because he is like the small guy that comes in and does these mind-blowing things that these humongous like dudes come in and do. It's like when Goku like fights like the huge dude and just beats his ass all over the place.
Yep.
Because again, you don't expect it when you see him next to the people, and then when he actually starts to do better than a lot of these guys, it's what sucks me. Yeah. Like,
he's also so nonchalant about it. The way he lifts, like the way he talks afterwards, he was like, oh, how much? Oh, we got that much time? Oh, that's no problem then. And he's just like so calm and chill too. It is very Goku energy reading off.
It is very interesting to see somebody coming from a sport that gets you so conditioned and your heart rate, your fitness, your respiration, like conditioning. Like, he has such out of this world conditioning that he went through that. And you know, he like barely broke a sweat through all of that. And so, like, even when he got to something that he couldn't lift, it wasn't because he was tired. It's because, like, he just lost the grip in his hand or it was too heavy.
Mm-hmm.
He was never like, some of these guys were very like blown up after some of the stuff, like they're going to pass out. It's so freaking impressive and such an interesting juxtaposition, like people wise. It's really cool. And to what Ryan was saying, it was the second video, but that he beat this guy Mika from Finland's strongest man in the grip strength, the big squeeze, as they called it, by like literally 3 or 4 pounds of force. So he squeezed at like 114 kilograms of force, which a typical male adult is like 45 kilograms of force.
Whoa.
Dude, it's nuts, man.
Squeezing like a bodybuilder, like the most roided out freak you can think of. Squeezing like that. It's crazy.
I do love, especially in the first video, when he breaks the world record and this guy just casually, he's like, hey, you just broke the world record. He's like, wait, what? I really? I did? Oh, that's really cool. Hey, I just broke a world record. Again, he's so casual. You can tell he's hyped for it, but also he's just like, all right. It's, again, it's so positive.
Mm-hmm. I think that was a really good bit of storytelling there too. And it's not even storytelling, but it was something that was thrown in that, and it was touched upon later. And in other videos, they specify this as well. And that, like, when he says that on the screen pops up in my weight class, asterisk.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you clickbait fuckers. And because in my head, I'm like, that's not a world record. That's just a sub whatever. But then, like, by the end of that first video, I realized how silly I was. And it's like, of course, there's different in your weight class, you know? And yeah. So by the end of that, I was invested in that. I was even more so in the next video. And then by the time I got to I watched the Arnold Classic one, I'm like, fuck yeah, break another record, dog. Let's go.
I like, too, that guy that tells him that in the first video, he's in the second video, too. He's like, hey, it's this guy from the first one. Again, mm-hmm. I love that continuity. Yep. That's why I like to watch both of these. I feel they are a combined set. They are perfectly mirrored storytelling because you have those same characters, but he goes through his own journey. But I think my favorite part about it is, again, I think what makes it such great storytelling is its inherent comedic irony and the fact that the event he is worst at both times is the rock lifting competition. And he's the rock climber and everybody, he's like, I hate this more because everybody expects me to do well in this and I'm terrible at it.
Yeah.
I just love that. That cosmic irony, man, it's delicious. It's so fun. And he plays into it really well. Again, mm-hmm. It's so damn captivating. It's crazy how quick these go by.
I found that really funny and really interesting. And I'm glad he doesn't like harp on it because like to me, that is literally every other challenge, not challenge, but step in each of these competitions. Is 100% easier than that rock one for a rock climber. Like for somebody to be like, you should be really good at that. In their head, they envision that rock climber hanging off upside down off of that point. Like that is the equivalent of what they expect is easy for him instead of like the grip of being able to get your fingers around something. It's I thought that was really funny. And he was really nice to not bring that up. It's like, this is the hardest thing here. I think
that was
his
biggest detriment. And that event specifically, because of the fact that he was the smallest guy there, he mm-hmm. didn't have the humongous bear paw mitts that could like just
palm
get more. Yeah. Because mm-hmm. even like the uniform Atlas stones, he could do so much more well there because it was like a uniform grip. Whereas the rock one, you really had to have like a giant paw that could get more surface area on it.
Mm-hmm.
The wider grip helps.
On that note, of all of the events, what one would you guys like to do out of all of them?
Oh, man.
I think the one I would probably most be curious to try is the one where they lift the increasing weights with the butt plug looking sort of grip, like the cone.
Yeah. That the grandfather one, clock pendulum.
Yeah, is that what? They have like the two variants. There's like the plumb bob or the butt plug version, and then they have like the straight rod version.
Mm-hmm.
I think he did that one in the first one, and I think they did the cone in the second one, maybe. But I thought that was cool. I'd probably like to do that one.
This is about like asking me what kind of wizard you want to be because it doesn't matter. I have no muscle tone.
I don't either.
I ain't picking.
I couldn't do very well in it.
It's funny. It's good that you mentioned that. Something I didn't think about, and I've always wondered enough, but not enough to look it up. Like I didn't care that much, but like how strong? Like it's it's gonna sound like I toot my own horn, but I constantly like. And blow people away by how strong I am and how small I am.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's always in my head. I'm like, how does that work? Like, because yeah, I'm fucking strong and I don't get it. But once he, I mean, it's a lot of climbing trees, mm-hmm. stuff like that. And it's like, whatever. But when he got into talking about there's a difference between he's got a lot of muscles, my tendons mm-hmm. are absolutely toned. And I'm like, man, I've never thought about that. It's crazy that is how that works when you're just that. I don't know.
It's a cool thing of just like the vastness of the human body, because it's two completely different groups of body parts that are getting to almost the same levels of performance. Because like,
yeah,
one is just giant dudes with humongous muscles putting everything behind those muscles, and the other is a guy with like the most tightly toned tendons and sinew that is just like elastically controlled to where like, and it's just toned too, like he has muscle as well. It's not that he's just noodle armed, but it's way more in like his manipulation of his grip. I've looked into more of it, like so much of like overall health, and they can tell how estimated longer you can live by your grip strength, because that sets up like generally if you have a grip strength, you do work with weights in some capacity because you have to hold heavy things. So it like it just kind of corresponds to overall like working out, I think. But it is crazy how like much grip strength plays into it. And again, I think it's why he can perform at such a high level. Again, just based on his completely separate interests. I love this wild cross. It's such good storytelling. It's completely different things that work. It's like nu metal. Fuck it. Limp Bizkit reference again. Rap and rock shouldn't work, but when they do work, it's crazy. Rock and horns make ska also sick. Come on.
It's true.
You can have ska.
True. No
doubt. You can have ska. I will take Superman. You can have the rest of it.
Oh. Superman is a banger. It's a good one to take, but Real Big Fish got a lot of hits. I'll be okay.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff there.
What event then, Sean? What one would you do? You didn't answer that.
Dude, I'm fucking squeezing.
Because it'd be quick. You get like the three chances, but that's it.
Oh, and the thing with the meter that's filling up, that's already, that's satisfying right there. There's just, man, you know you're going to be better next year. You know, it's like you can just get better and better. But in terms of like a real answer, because that's not a real answer. What was it called? It was the ox grip or something. The one that was basically a deadlift, but with the two or three inch. Oh, with like the board?
Yeah. With the board, it's like a 2x4? Yeah. That one looked hard.
Did, but they all fucking look hard.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's a pick your own poison. Because I was thinking the two that you hold at the end, but even that's like, arms are going to fall off. Or my luck, I get the wobbles like everybody else does, and then I fucking pass out.
Just pass out?
Because like, you're just 4 seconds
not breathing and your legs are locked.
Yeah.
I would like to try to do the rock one.
It's a pick your poison kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The rock I'll one. Never do Which one? The many different rocks that you're just picking up to see?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that one. The unique rocks, not the uniform ones.
The blobs.
The blobs, yeah.
It's another really interesting thing to... It puts all of these different things, like a interesting twist in your head or a different perspective on it, in that like so many... Like those rocks are like 30... They're between like 25 and 40 kilograms.
Yeah.
And like that's not light. Like, the 25 is, like, 44 pounds that you're just... About
that? Maybe a little more.
And you're just pinching and lifting that up, but then you have them with that one that I just mentioned with, like, basically the 3x4 that you're pinching with your hands that have weights on both sides and deadlifting, like they're getting up to like 105, 110, 120 kilograms, which you're getting close to like the 250 to 300 pound range. And that's just crazy to me. But then you had mentioned those iron ball things that you could like palm or like pinch. Those little things are like 40 pounds a piece and going up from there, and just how hard that is versus a rock and all of the shapes. But think back, listeners, to some time when you're like, oh, 40 pounds isn't a lot, but then you go to pick it up and it's awkwardly shaped and you like snap your wrist in half because you're like, what the why is that so heavy?
Yeah, or you're palming, trying to pick like, it up with a little melon tips. Essentially a fucking 40 pound melon. Like that sounds fucking really hard.
Yeah. I had a cannonball growing up that we found in the woods.
Sick. That's wild. I would never think of course you did in Massachusetts. There's probably cannonballs everywhere.
Oh fuck yeah, you're right.
Yeah, those bitches is heavy, but I'm actually, sure I don't even know if you
solid iron.
A massive scar on my forehead through my eyelid. Goes from like here to here, big old nasty boy. I'll send you guys a picture after. But it's I had brought the cannonball inside, and I was in, I don't know, fifth grade, however old you are then. Brought it inside, and I went to drop it on my skateboard to launch the skateboard at my sister, but I dropped it on the wrong side, and the grip tape ripped my forehead open.
God,
yo, that shit is heavy.
Yeah.
Damn.
To go back to the 3x4 bit, Sean, I think that's the first event he competes in. And it's funny because he picks it up expecting to struggle and he lifts it so easily and you can see it on his face. He's like, oh, okay. And he just starts crushing. Oh, yeah, I see it. You can definitely
BGE,
see it.
Big Goku energy.
Big Goku energy. I like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, again, these damn YouTube rabbit holes. I don't know how I came upon this, but again, I'm so happy I did. I watched it one night, like, you know, I watch a lot of YouTube and it's crazy. Number one, for me to watch a video in one setting, which is wild. But the fact that I watched it and immediately saw that part two, cause I came on to these, like I found him last year after part two had come out. So I watched part one. And I immediately went into part two and watched them back to back and was just blown away. And I think I watched them both again, like 3 days later. I was like, man, that was really good. I want to watch that again. It's not my most recent rabbit hole, but it is like one of the better ones. And it didn't take me very far. I'm not too deep into the rock climbing world or grip strength. Casually some into strongman because I've always enjoyed, like, I used to watch the World's Strongest Men on ESPN.
Yeah, my always sister was into time. It too.
Yeah,
I think for extremely non-horny ways.
I definitely was not horny. They are not attractive men in any way. They usually, it's wild how humongous strongmen usually have like a giant, they are the definition of barrel chest.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. A lot of them, you would almost think they are like fat, but they're not. They are just massive dense. But
it's dense. It's not dense. Fat. Like it's
they got mass, baby. But I think any expression of extreme human anything is going to be fascinating to watch, and I think this falls into that category. And again, because the guy comes in as a sleeper agent, but I know I'm not the only one that goes down YouTube rabbit holes. I know both of you are also somewhat fans of YouTube and enjoy your own rabbit holes. So I'm curious what other ones you guys stumbled down. I say rabbit hole a lot. I know. So hold me up, boys.
Don't like
hold that. It to me. Sean, I'll let you take it because I feel like your answer, whatever it's going to be, it's probably going to be more in the spirit of rabbit holes.
Man, maybe. I don't know. A lot of times I rock like a shotgun approach to my YouTube viewing.
Okay.
Because there's always, and it's not random. It's just like, in the sense of there's pellets going everywhere. And I'm always, there's always four or five things that I'm interested in that I'm watching. Mm-hmm. And I guess I don't ever really go down a rabbit hole per se, because that's usually like hyper focused on one thing or one creator or whatever. Like I will like topics. I can rabbit hole down or whatever. Like most recently I taught myself how to screen print and how to burn screens and stuff like that. And I learned almost all of that just through YouTube. So like that is something that I spent 24 hours on in like a week, like just listening to and just absorbing as much as I can. But that's not super interesting for something like this. So other little rabbit holes.
You taught yourself an entire skill. That's fucking, that's fascinating. And,
but I do that all the time. So it's not,
but it also still counts as a rabbit hole because you never got into screen printing before. And then you went, it's not a, I don't know. What do you call it when you stumble into it? Because that's a deliberate rabbit hole. You wanted to learn screen printing and you jumped in. But then you also have those magic ones that just, you're like, oh, the curiosity's peaked on that. What's going on over here? And then you find
that. That one's almost out of necessity. It's like starting a business. Don't want to pay somebody else $25 to make me a shirt that I then have to sell for $40. How about I make one for $3 and sell it for $20? Like one of those, it's like, I don't have a ton of money. So it's like one of those had to learn out of necessity to do what I have to do. But there are other like other little rabbit holes that I've gone down recently is like restoration, like old, like Game Boy restorations. Like there's just something
into those before.
That's so sad. Like you see, I have a Super Nintendo downstairs that's yellowed on like half of it.
Fix that.
And other stuff. And I'm like, I need to watch this. And it's almost because I have a, there's something in me that's like, okay, if I watch enough of these, I'm going to learn how to do this. I'm going to do, this is my next skill that I'm unlocking. And then I'm like, never going to learn that. Buddy. On to the next thing.
just because I know how to stutter, I'm like, I could do that.
Yeah. Lately, it's been a like my feed is usually based on whatever rabbit holes I've been down. And right now it's like a lot of stand up and a lot of screen printing. But there is something so satisfying about YouTube. YouTube's my most consumed thing.
Same. Hands I know down. We're the similar on that. I watch so much fucking YouTube.
Hands down. I will never not pay for YouTube Premium. Don't give a fuck.
I love it.
I love it when something that you rabbit dove down. I'm just going to keep saying it weirder and weirder. Last time you made some nookie with some rabbits, dude, a year and a half, like 2 years ago. Like card counting and watching videos of people going into casinos and like how they do it, how they kind of work with each other. I fell in love with those. I watched those for months and I started following this guy, Steven Bridges. He's got fantastic content and he hadn't put out anything in like a year. And then like a week ago, I saw a new video pop up and there is nothing more satisfying than an old rabbit fucking hole love rekindling. You know what I mean?
I've got the channels.
Except for now, there's like no new videos. Updates.
And then I love the channels like you're saying that are the sporadic updaters. I've got this one video game reviewer guy that maybe puts out a video every month. And then sometimes he'll go like 3 months. And then again, oh, boom. Oh, hey, Mandalore dropped a new video. Fucking hey, let's go watch it.
Hell yeah.
Mandalore Gaming, hell yeah. You know him?
No. I know them. That's not who I thought. I thought you said Modular at first.
No.
Ah.
Don't know Modular.
Modular? I don't know. M-A-J-U-L-A-A-R. I think I'm with Sean. I'm the shotgun approach is how I do it. It's not random, but it's one where it's like, as soon as I find something that hits the spot, subscribed. And now it's in my subscription and I just open it up and like look through the top subscriptions, like, this is hitting the mood right now, and I do that. It is really, really rare that I sit and just do many videos from the same creator or the same channel over and over again. Very, very rare. I cannot think of the last time I did that. Actually, outside of Draw Fee the other night, where I watched that you sent me.
That's a rabbit hole, right?
Dude, those are great. Those are edited perfectly, and I love it. Sean, you would love these too. It's essentially like they get a few artists together for each episode, give them a prompt, and then each artist interprets the prompt in a certain way, and then you see them speed draw it. So you see the drawing in real time, you see how they do it, their process.
Yeah. They're commentating on it.
And what I love is you see the struggles too. Like, they don't edit out like, oh, this, I fucked up. And like, one of them that Kyle sent, like one of the artists, it took like 5-6 times where they were supposed to draw a monster and just could not stop drawing human fucking heads. And like, they're like, what are you doing? Like, you are spiraling. And it's great. It's great. And it's what I love about art. It kind of makes you, again, it's not gatekeepy. It's not, we're showing you the best and we're trying to show off or present like this grass is greener side. We are encouraging, like, art is a struggle until it's not and you have fun. And I kind of love the spirit of that. And so I watched a few of those absolutely back to back. And those were like 30, 40 minute ones. So
45 minutes, some of them.
Like, yeah, a full movie I watched.
They're good. Yeah.
Yeah.
It hooks. When it hooks, that's what I love about a good rabbit hole. I have no interest in it. And I think maybe part of the reason I like this one so much is that I didn't even know this was a thing, but there's a certain ASMR quality, because it's like a woodworking thing, but it's a guy who makes fishing lures in his garage. He like does it professionally. He has a really big YouTube channel now, but like, he'll hand carve them out of wood. He like gets real intricate with the gills and like the eyes. And then he does these crazy elaborate paint jobs on it. Again, it's a lot of art based. Cause also another thing I stumbled on, and I watch different, this is in the fish guy. It's just like, it's one creator. This is the guy I like. This is who I watch. Cause sometimes the YouTube algorithm will like, hey, here's another guy that makes fish baits. And I'm like, no, get it out of here. Not interested in this guy. He's not the one. But a separate rabbit hole I've stumbled into that I will never take part in, but I love to watch, is people that paint Warhammer 40K minis.
Yes. Again,
I've subtly got into Warhammer 40K in general. So it just started putting up people that do the painting. And there are like three different content creators for this that I follow for different types of Warhammer painting. Because again, it's art-based, but each artist is unique, and that's what I think Ryan sort of gets at with Drawfee, and why it's also hits is because they're so unique interpretations of the same thing that that's what makes the creation interesting. Because I just love fresh ideas. That's why I love YouTube. You would never watch a fucking documentary about a guy entering a grip strength competition on cable television. Highly doubt it. It's such a niche thing. But that's what is great about YouTube, because that first one, going back to the original subject, went so viral. I think like 13, 14 million people have seen that video now. Which,
yeah, that's what he had mentioned.
Again, it's what, like, you wouldn't think that. And I get, maybe I see sort of a TV executive side of you, because on the one hand, the production cost for Alex was like him living his life and paying to enter a thing. It wasn't like all these producers and like coming up with this idea and like finding a guy and putting him in the competition. But I think things, man, I'm stumbling on another one. There's these great little bits that I've watched where like they'll put professional athletes in like Hollywood style makeup and send them undercover to things. Like, I've seen a couple where I've seen one where they sent like Eli Manning, the quarterback, in like to a like a college open quarterback like tryouts, and him just coming in with like this Hollywood makeup and just destroying these college level athletes. And then at the end, he like takes off and everybody's like, oh fuck, it's Eli Manning. Like, I love shit like that. That has the fact that you've got Eli Manning. You can sell that. That's marketable.
Uh-huh.
This is just some fucking Swedish rock climber guy. And it gets that many views that, like, TV people would kill for 14 million people to put eyes on something. And again, that's what I love about YouTube as a whole in this ecosystem it has. There's so much wild niche stuff out there. It's really opened up interest that I would have never even thought about having.
I just sent something in the chat here to you guys. And also, listeners, if you're in the Discord, you will have noticed like a week and a half ago from listening to this that I posted something randomly in the general miscellany section of Discord. And you're like, why is he posting about the Harris Cup Miniature Golf Championship? Well, I just now stumbled across this. It's a 43-minute long video that gets into them actually do it. It shows the tournament. It breaks down the holes. I am captivated. I can't wait. I cannot wait till I'm done talking to you, Fox, so I can watch this. Just kidding. But also, listeners, if you don't know what I'm talking about, that means you're not in the Discord. And so go to our website, experiencegrind.com, and join the Discord so that you, too, can a week ago wonder why I'm sending this.
Also, it sounds like you don't think miscellany is a word, and miscellany is a word.
I said miscellany.
I know. Oh. You're acting like it's like a Harry Potter thing.
Yeah.
Like something they spell right before a Guardian pops
miscellany.
Out. Miscellany.
And then just a random object starts floating wherever you're around.
Dude, that's dope. If you were a wizard who could only make miscellaneous shit happen, you had no control over it, that's a story.
That is something that needs to be made.
Continue. Sorry.
It's a curse. It's a
curse. This miniature golf championship looks fantastic, and it's taking everything not to just watch it right now.
Sean, you haven't watched any part of this?
No.
I haven't either. What we should do is when we start watching it, all of us should pick who we want to win. And then we should talk about that at a later date. Okay. We don't have to do an episode on it. I'm just saying.
Just a little fun sports betting on the side.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great.
Nothing even really bet on it. Let's just all pick one and see what comes out of it.
I think would it'll 100% make it even more talk about this for a Patreon.
Okay. Yeah. We'll tell Brian to do that same thing.
Perfect.
Watch this and pick one who you think will win at the start, and then we'll talk about it.
I can't fucking wait to watch this.
I think it'll invest us in it.
Yeah, oh yeah.
YouTube is basically like ESPN 8, the Ocho. Like the version from Dodgeball.
A lot. A lot.
Where it's like, you see that and you're like, I actually want to watch that. Like, yes. There's this. I've seen on YouTube like marble racing. Like the most intricate like marble racing courses like ever. With this insanely high production. Like, why do you have a production value that high for marble racing? I don't know. And I don't care. Like, give me that sweet, sweet, high def, translucent fucking marbles.
I love that you brought up the marble racing, because that was absolutely a rabbit hole I've been down and consumed many videos.
It's so good. Yeah, that, I fear as though mini golf, professional mini golf, is a rabbit hole that I am now going to be lost in for the next like week. Like, I'm not upset at it, but like,
oh yeah,
man, I watched like one hole of this like a couple of minutes ago. I'm like, fuck, man, fuck. Why is this so entertaining? I just need to go to a mini golf course and just have a commentator.
Ooh.
I put one in the chat for you guys too, because it's not my favorite Warhammer guy, but what I like about this guy is that specifically he will buy Warhammer.
I will put all of these links in the show chat.
He'll buy ones that people like attempted to paint and maybe they just weren't good, or like they were just trying it out. And so they sell them, he'll buy them, and then like sort of he tries to paint their vision in a professional way. Like, whatever they were trying to achieve, he tries to do it.
You can tell the intended.
Yeah. And it's really cool stuff. Like, and again, he's a great artist and painter. So like, but like this one, like the weird color schemes, he will try to usually incorporate the color, and it's cool stuff. And again, it shows the skill, but I like the compassion because he's always trying to honor what the person wanted to do and just for whatever reason couldn't. He's not like shitting on their artistic talents. He's understanding like a lot of times people are just learning. It's a process. Mm-hmm. But here's what I think they probably wanted it to look like. Let's help him get there. It's cool stuff.
So he's offered to like he'll paint it and then reach back out and be like, hey, do you want this? I did this. Or does he just do that and keep them?
I think a lot of them,
I don't care either way. I just think that.
I think a lot of them he just gives away because he's one of those like bigger channels, and he has his own stuff that like he obviously plays with and paints. I think it's like content, but like again, he shares the love. Like he gives it away. Mm-hmm. A lot of bigger guys do that.
I thought how interesting it would be if he like emailed that person back from eBay and was like, "Hey, this is what I did with your thing. Do you want it?" That'd be pretty cool. But either way, I think it's incredible. I'm not saying it's bad. Ryan, what the fuck is this?
Is this farming?
This is, a Spanish farm in the middle of nowhere that just does, like, these aesthetic videos. And the best way I can describe it is, like, Terrence Malick, Tree of Life. Like, the montage sections with no words. It is, like, 30 to 50 minute long videos of no words, but, like, good quick editing. Like, it's not slow TV. Like, there are like edits every 5-10 seconds, and it's just some of the most beautiful shit I've seen. And they make like really cool stuff. There's just like the way they interact with their animals is like really sweet and wholesome. This is a weird one. This is one like I didn't think it would click because I'm not typically an ASMR person. I'll be honest with you,
looking at it, I don't feel like it'll click with me either, but I am gonna watch it because number one, you recommended it.
It's surprising how long I went watching these. I'm like, oh my god, there's something hypnotic about this shit. Like,
you know what?
What is wrong with me?
It's not even just the sounds of this, because I pulled it up. I've watched a couple of 5-10 second little clips bouncing around, and it is like it's that out, like when you're outdoors, like if you put on just nature sounds,
like a lot, it's a lot of ASMR that I referenced with the woodworking.
Yep. But the additional thing on here is it's made of like it's not static shots, stuff's being done, but it's accompanied by a slow panning camera that adds so slowly panning, but it adds this level of comfort or zen that goes with the outside. It just amplifies it so much more.
It's like a subconscious pull into the video. Dude, I never noticed that, Sean. You're right. Every single shot either pans in very, very slow or pans out very, very, very slow.
Or there's like a strafe that's going on like at almost every other clip of it. It's just like, and it's so subtle that it's almost unnoticeable until you notice it and you see that it's there every time.
Now I know their trick. I'm going to do the same.
I won't share it because I don't want to just bombard it, but I'll keep it in the back pocket if we ever come back to this. But have either of you guys ever watched the channel Primitive Technologies?
I don't know. But that seems like something familiar.
So this one is really cool. And again, it's so much in the presentation, but also the knowledge. It's literally, I don't think this guy even is like well studied. I think he is just interested in it.
I've seen this.
It is one single guy who goes out in the middle of like the Australian outback, and he is trying to recreate how primitive people created things. He has no power. He has no tools. He makes his own tools out there. He'll have videos making it. What's really cool is that he never speaks in the video. You have to turn on closed captioning because he adds closed captions and describes everything that's happening. But it is all just aesthetic and vibes of this man working in a primitive way. He's always shirtless, always barefoot, out in the middle of the fucking jungle. It's insane. but it's so fucking exciting to watch. And again, this is another one that gets like 4-5 million views on everything that he uploads, and he never speaks. And that would, you would never catch that on TV. But God damn it, if it's not captivating. What he's been trying to do for like the last 2 years I've been watching this guy is he's trying to recreate how primitive man came across iron. And it's like, it's all in like this clay that like is just the most tiniest iron oxide atoms that like continuously get boiled down to where he gets these big chunks of iron like slag that have little pellets of pure iron that like he's knocking out and collecting like these microscopically small little beads of iron that he'll collect for fucking months and then melt those down into like, it's insane. He'll build furnaces out of clay and like all this experimentation. It's such fascinating stuff to watch that again.
Homeboy makes his own stones. I've seen a lot of this guy's stuff. I had to look him up, but I've seen a lot of the, like, I've seen him.
He's a subscribe for me. Like a foundation. Another one. Yeah. He doesn't put up those. We talked about this, Sean. He doesn't put up like regular content, but when he puts up something, you're like, oh fuck yeah. New primitive technology video. Can't wait to watch this.
Yep. Like I've seen stuff where he dug out and made basically an underground room. Dug up and made it with its own like chimney, and it's basically just like an underground lean-to that looks like the craziest stuff. But typing it in to see who you're talking about, because a lot of times I don't know what the channels are called. I will follow it until I don't want to anymore. But one of the most recent ones was like 5 months ago, and it's Hut. The title of it is Hut with Underfloor Heating.
Dude, it's sick. It's like he makes it so he can cool or like dry tiles faster. It's a fascinating video. You should absolutely watch it.
Well, this is my last podcast, boys, because I'm about to go live in the woods behind the house. I'm learning how to.
You got to do it barefoot. Oh. Again, he's barefoot. The entire time.
This just jogged something. It was like maybe, it wasn't recent. This was maybe 6 or 7 months ago. I got really into a dude who loved to camp in like modern areas. Like, and I'm talking modern areas, like behind a highway sign and then spend 48 hours behind a highway sign or in a roundabout.
Urban camouflage.
Yes. And that was like he was Canadian, I want to say. It was just going to like the most bizarre places. A bush in front of the Walmart, sleeping out there for, you know, 48 hours. And just like what he sees and all this stuff. Weirdly surprising. Surprisingly entertaining.
Huh. I love YouTube, man.
I gotta look him up.
The stuff that you're never going to find anywhere else.
There's like, so much content on there too. You'll never run out.
People are so talented.
This is Steve Wallace. I found him.
Oh, nice. I found him.
Yeah, it doesn't. So it's not even like you got to be the Curry Barkers of the world. You know, the ones that are blowing up because you're making movies and stuff on here. It's like people are building huts out in the woods and teaching other people how to screen print and exposing cheaters in video games.
I love that.
Carl Jobst, man.
Yeah, him. There's
speedruns. Abyssoft too.
Abyssoft is really good.
I really like Abyssoft as well. Because he's not as monotone as Carl. I love Carl, but Carl is not a fucking narration voice, bro.
Kyle?
But this runner was about to run out of time.
Oh, that was really good.
I've watched a lot of Carl Jobst video. I love his content, and it becomes a meme. Anyway, boys, what I've loved about this, look how much joy just talking about YouTube rabbit holes has brought us this fucking episode.
For another hour.
I could too. I could share videos with you boys forever. I try not to overload people because number one, it's hard enough to get anybody to watch something.
Our listeners love
especially
loads.
If it's just a constant barrage of stuff. So I do try to pick it, and I often try to. That's why, like, literally last night, I was watching another Drawfee video, and it was like probably the fourth or fifth time I've thought, God damn it, Ryan would like this. I wonder if he knows about Drawfee. And I finally was like, hey, buddy, you ever heard of this? And he was like, no. So we got, and again, I'm glad I did, because I do think he does enjoy the content. And again, I love this.
It's now part of my shotgun. I'll get blasted with it in a week. I'm like, oh yeah, watch.
New Drawfee.
One thing I'll shout out that's not YouTube, but like kind of only adjacent. If listeners like comedy, like they're YouTube to have some weird, like outrageous stuff. I find myself consuming dropout stuff in the same way that I do for
Dropout and Smosh.
Brian would also Smosh recommend Dropout.
Are fucking fantastic. Yep. Especially
like Smosh, I have their subscription.
So does Brian. Brian's a huge fan.
I might need to get that Dropout subscription.
Oh yeah. I know what
the only one I thought of is watch? Nebula. I got really close to getting Nebula at a certain point.
I have two.
I am this Nebula's close to because
that's the science,
of,
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of science. And also like a lot of movie film people too. Like I know like Lindsay Ellis.
Oh yeah,
is on
yeah,
there,
yeah. Because it's like a sort
the
of
card
a
counter
educational type thing.
Nice.
Sean, do you watch Smosh at all?
I have in the past. It's weird. It's like I watch it now. I'm like, it's so weird because Dropout is so sophomoric. But then I watch Smosh and I'm like, oh, never mind. It's
that again, that is perfectly described. And it probably would explain why I love them both. But I definitely lean more Smosh and you lean more Dropout. I think that checks out.
Mm-hmm.
But I fucking love Smosh. And I wouldn't have thought I would, because
there's personality crossovers there too, like a ton of personality crossovers.
Well, what got me into Smosh more, and this is what I'm gonna again plug it on Ryan, is James and Elise have been on a lot of Smosh lately. Like they are working into the house a lot, and I fucking love that, because I shit up, but I love improv, and that's what a lot of Smosh Dropout too. Number one biggest thing Dropout has. Vic is one of the funniest people.
Vic's great.
Ever.
Vic Michaelis.
She is so tier. Fucking funny. Legitimately, that's, one of the funniest people of all time. She is so fucking good at just getting into it. Also, the Pete Holmes episode, one of the funniest things I've ever watched, when he just continuously roasts Sam. Him and Pete Holmes' friendship relationship. Ah, iconic, dude. Good shit there.
Yep.
So,
Sam's a good sport about things.
I'm glad we watched YouTube together. This is so much fucking fun.
You know what got me into a game changer? Was YouTube. Or not game changer, but Dropout. I found a game changer episode on YouTube, went down a fucking rabbit hole, and now I pay for Dropout every month. And I use it.
I found clips of
not as much as YouTube, but
the very important people.
Where they do very important people. What a brilliant idea. Throw comedians in elaborate makeup and they just go out and improv.
Watched Crowd Control?
Yeah. Crowd Control is good. Make Some Noise is good.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I love Sam Says, that fucking game.
Oh, yeah. That's in Game Changer. That's one of the. That's been done twice, I think. It's really good. Sam Says.
But. Anyway, Sean, I think you're up next week, buddy. What do you bring into this table?
I am up next week. I am bringing something to the table that I had never even heard of until last week when Sarah asked me if I had heard of it. And I said, no, I haven't. But pull me up a trailer while I'm recording. This was literally last Thursday. And I got out of doing this. I went into the bedroom. She showed me the trailer. And I text you guys, this is what I'm doing in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going to be doing, directed by Jared Hess, Gentleman Broncos, 2009, from the same folks that brought you Napoleon Dynamite and Nacho Libre.
It's a spiritual sequel to Napoleon Dynamite because it has like the exact same poster style.
From what I heard, this is like the least talked about of those three.
Yeah.
But the one that I hear, like that I'm seeing now and everything that I looked up, being like, I don't know why this isn't being talked about. It's better than the other two. It's one of those
sleeper hit universal praises. I've never seen it either, though. I'm excited. I've never watched it.
Okay. Jennifer Coolidge, Jermaine Clement, like right off the rip, I saw Jermaine Clement and I was like, wait, what? I've never
even... He fits even, that style perfectly, though.
Also, your boy, Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell.
He's probably going to dance. It's probably going to be different good.
Characters. So I look forward to seeing what you guys think about it. I look forward to seeing what I think about it.
I'm excited because it's one I've never seen. I love when we get into these.
I'm familiar with it. I never saw it.
Yeah, I've heard of it. Never watched
it. Brian hasn't either, so it might be a new one for all of us.
Let's go. I love these.
Well done, Shiny Boy. That's my favorite thing about this era. No, well done, sir. Is we're all trying to hit stuff none of us have seen. It's great. Great challenge. Great experience. Yep. Sometimes they suck. Luckily, YouTube vlogumentary did not suck. Thank you, boys, for going down this trip. I'm glad that you guys did enjoy it.
Absolutely.
I don't know what else to say.
We went into this like only thinking about talking about a climber and going into a grip competition and like pivoted like 3 minutes before the show into like a rabbit hole thing. And this, I mean, it's a testament to what we consumed that it was that easy to be like, oh yeah, like that's easy to talk about anything from here for hours. But
again, I could keep
we're not going to go on for
hour
more hours
easily.
But if you guys want to hear more, because an hour is not enough, head on over to experiencegrind.com/Patreon. Not slash, just click on the Patreon link. So experiencegrind.com, Patreon link. Go get some bonus episodes every week. What did we talk about today? It was a long time
TV
on one thing.
Intros.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. TV theme really songs. Good. Iconic ones. Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't look up the one. Should I look it up right now?
Do it.
Which one?
Do it. What were we supposed to talk about?
The Patreon topic that I had written down and forgot what it was.
I hope it's good or else you're not selling
this. It's not. If it was good, I would have remembered it.
That sounds great. Gonna end this on a
wall. Did you guys cast ideas? Opening it up. Oh!
Yep. That's the face I expected.
Oh, shit.
Oh, he's really cracking himself up, audience. You can't see
it. He's cracking up.
Okay. I just wrote down Tim Curry eating ass impression.
What?
Eating ass
I think
impressions?
I was imagining him doing his
And you know what,
but
guys? Listeners, you dodged
Mr.
a bullet.
Just doing that now. I don't know, man.
Yeah. You guys dodged a bullet because it would have been half an hour of Kyle just going, and then he'd start talking about something. And
that's
5 minutes later, Kyle would be like,
I'm Tim Curry.
Remember that bit? I'm Tim Curry. This tastes like Subway.
I love you, listeners. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Fresh.
Subway.